Did perimenopause or menopause catch you off guard? Weird symptoms appearing from nowhere, wondering who is this person who's inhabiting your body? And most of all, having no one to talk to about it? It happened to me too. And with all the chaos that it was causing me, I knew I had to figure it out. I dug in, reading often outdated books and searching obscure references on the internet. I learned how our shifting reproductive hormones mess with every cell in our bodies. And as I realized how complete this hormonal disruption was, I became determined to help other women understand and control their own menopause journey. Because menopause matters. And here, we talk about all things menopause. I'm your host, Jean Andrus, and this is Menopause Matters, the podcast. Hello, everybody. This is Jean Andrus, the menopause guru, and this is Menopause Matters, where we talk all things menopause. Today, I have with me Michelle Teague. Michelle is an experienced, award-winning international speaker, trainer, and coach. She works mostly with business owners and HR professionals who are struggling with team members, not communicating with each other, aggravated with the conflict that prevents their teams from accomplishing goals, or losing sleep at night because people don't have the leadership skills they need to be successful. She also works one-on-one with people to help them set and achieve goals that will grow from where they are towards the vision they've created for themselves. And Michelle, I invited you to this podcast after hearing you do a workshop with a group that I'm involved in. And we were talking about delegation. And I think it's a super important skill and topic for women in menopause because we're going through all these changes. We're prioritizing ourselves, perhaps for the first time in our lives. And we come home to a household that's been run by mom for 30 years, and mom is tired of doing all the things for all the people. And now she's got to figure a way beyond the way things used to be and the way she'd ultimately like them to be. It's a hugely important topic, and it's not just business, and it's not just for you if you're a manager, and it's not just for you if you think that you have to delegate as part of your professional life. What I'm talking about is renegotiating how your house runs, how maybe your business runs, but to give you the time to focus on you. So I thought it was a fabulous talk. And while we were talking mostly in the realm of business, let's talk in the realm of it's menopause and I don't want to be the person doing all the things. So how did you get started being a delegation expert?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me onto your podcast, Jean. All of this started many years ago, long before the thought of menopause actually entered my mind. It started when my children were still fairly young. In fact, my youngest wasn't even in kindergarten yet. And my husband and I had this vision in our head that we had to do it all to have it all. And that's part of what I talked about. The other evening was that a lot of us have this belief, you know, we have this goal to having it all. We want to have, you know, the perfect life. We want to have a wonderful family. We want to have a beautiful home. We want to make sure that the career is progressing like it's supposed to. We want to have a wonderful social life where we have tons of friends and we're constantly going to from one party to another, and we're also, you know, have tons of time to work out, and we're eating healthy, and we're doing all the things that are involved whenever you hear that phrase, have it all. Okay. And then reality sets in and you realize, holy cow, how am I supposed to do all of this? There's just not enough hours in the day for me to be able to do all of this. And my husband and I both felt like we were on this hamster wheel, that we were just constantly running, and we didn't feel like we were making any progress. We didn't feel like we were actually getting anywhere. And what happened was I was sitting there on my couch, literally doing nothing. And when he came home one day and said, what are you doing? I said, doing nothing. He's like, I really wish I could do nothing. It just seems like I'm constantly doing stuff. I just can't get ahead. And he wasn't wrong. I mean, we were. And then it hit me that successful people in life, and it doesn't matter if it's in business, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, but if you're successful, you delegate. You delegate the tasks that you personally don't have to do. And the secret to having it all is delegation. You can have it all, you just can't do it all. And so as we move on into this chapter of our lives, as we're either entering menopause or we're into menopause and we're sitting there and we're taking a look at our lives and we're saying, my energy level isn't what it used to be. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not the 20 or 30 year old who had some level of energy and could accomplish a whole lot more in my day. What can I do about this? And yes, there are other things that you can do to help with your energy level. But one of the things I want you to look at is, how are you spending your time?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you're doing with your time that's draining a lot of this energy? Are you focusing on tasks that don't necessarily need you to do them? And this is where delegation comes in. This is where renegotiating some of the tasks that you've been doing for decades comes in. During the presentation that I gave, I had all of you write down a list of things that you and only you alone can do. And then I also had you write down a list of things that you don't necessarily have to do yourself. Other people can do. And that's the beginning of it. That's part one, is figuring out what are the tasks that I alone can do and what are the tasks that other people could do for me. And once you've got that list, because there are some things that only you can do. And at home, it could be part of the reason why only you can do them is because you enjoy them. I mean, the reality is there are some things that you do at home that you really like. I know there are a lot of women out there that may enjoy gardening. There are a lot of women out there that may enjoy cooking. There are a lot of women out there who may enjoy, I don't want to say necessarily cleaning, but definitely organizing.
I do know women for whom cleaning is a very relaxing task, and they don't want to give it up because it's sort of their time to just, as you said, organize their space and their lives. And it doesn't take a lot of brain power to do that. So they love it. I am not one of those. So
neither am I. I will say the house that we used to have, we had a huge backyard. We had about 3/4 acre. Mm-hmm. And so we had a riding lawnmower. And one of my favorite tasks was getting on the riding lawnmower for about 1.5 hours each week and cutting grass.
Wow.
And it's because your mind can zone out. It can think about other things because it doesn't take a whole lot of mental power to go up and down and up and down and up and down. And that was some of the most creative time of my week. Mm-hmm. Was when I would do that. And so when you're creating this list of tasks that you and only you can do and somebody else can do, that's one of the things I want you to keep in mind, is there are going to be some tasks that, yeah, somebody else could do that. I could have had somebody else cut the grass for me. However, that was my time to be able to mentally let my brain just run wild and get creative and think about things that I didn't have time to think about the rest of the week.
And I think,
the phone. Yeah.
I want to add something to this creation of this list, because I think what happens to us to a large extent is we start to do this list and we say, oh, cleaning the house, that's something somebody else can do. No, I can't afford it. No, I don't know who I could. Don't edit that list.
No.
The only edit you want to make to those lists are the few things that only you can do.
Correct.
So maybe that's reading the story to your child or your grandchild before bed. And that's something that you are not going to give away to anybody if you can help it.
Exactly.
Maybe it's cooking because you love to cook. That's mm-hmm. something you want to do, is be in the kitchen and cooking that dinner every week. But maybe that doesn't include making the lunches or making the breakfasts. If that's not something you enjoy, just put it on the list and say, these are things that I can delegate, because whether or not you can afford to is something that it's a different decision.
Yes.
So,
well, and to add to that, I think a lot of people, when it comes to especially meal preparation, they think to themselves, I have to be the one to go to the store and do the grocery shopping. I have to be the one who comes up with
all the menus,
the plans and everything. No, that's not true. If you like cooking, all right, you're the one that cooks. You don't necessarily have to be the one who does the grocery shopping too. So you can divide up several of these tasks. And you're right. Just come up with the list. Later on, we're going to worry about how that list is going to get broken up and how we're going to do it. But the first step is to come up with that list. What is the things that only you and you alone can do? And what can everybody else do? And the reality is, the list that you and you alone can do should be very short. And the list that everybody else can do should be much longer. Because the reality is, there aren't very many things in the world, especially when it comes to your personal life and being there at home, that you and only you can do.
You're the only one who can do your workout.
Correct.
Nobody, it's not going to work if anybody else does it.
I wish that was something I could delegate.
Sorry, Michelle. It just doesn't work that way. But, you know, you can delegate walking the dogs if that's mm-hmm. if you've been using that as part of your exercise and you don't love it, then it can be delegated.
Yes.
And you can find your exercise in other places. So yes. Be really, really careful about how you divide that down, so that it's the things that you love or the things that you just can't give away.
Right.
Like your exercise. Sometimes you don't love it. Okay. Now we have the list.
So now we have our list. And what I want you to take a look at now is that list of things that you can delegate. And I want you to start thinking about some of the people in your life who do that. And like you said, this is not the time when we're starting to look at cost. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, who are some of the people in your life who actually do those things? Like you said, there are people out there who like to walk dogs. I have a neighbor who walks her dog probably about 5 or 6 times a day. Okay. And her dog loves my dog. And guess what? She would be willing to do for me. She'd be more than willing to take my dog on a walk with her dog, because the two of them get along very well. They'll have time to socialize with each other, have some fun with each other, and it's a great thing. But take a look at the list that you have and think about, who are the people that I know who do these tasks? Okay. For some of you, it could be family members. For some of you, it could be friends. For some of you, it could be next door neighbors. For some of you, it could be, I'm sure many of you belong to various groups out there. There's tons of different women's groups that you belong to, and you may have people in those groups that do some of these tasks. Okay, if for example, maybe one of the tasks on your list is balancing your checkbook. You don't want to balance your checkbook. Okay. Do you have somebody in your family who could help you with that? Do you have one of your friends who can help you with that? Maybe, just maybe, you live next door to a bookkeeper. Hey, there's somebody who that's what they do. Okay. There are lots of different people out there who like doing the tasks that are on your list of things that you don't have to do.
I want to say one more thing about that list.
Sure.
Go through that list and take off the things that don't have to be done at all.
Yes. Yes.
Do you really need to detail your car every month?
Nope. Nope.
I actually like going through the car wash. It's one of my fun things to do. But it takes 3 minutes to go mm-hmm. through the car wash. And maybe I vacuum it every, I don't know, 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it needs to be perfect.
No. No.
Yeah.
Perfection is not required.
Yeah.
And when it comes to life, there's no such thing as perfect. And part of that's because things are constantly changing. We live in a world where technology is constantly changing. And because of that, some of the tasks that you did in the past are going to be replaced by technology doing some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up in having the perfect life, because that's not going to happen. What I want you to do is I want you to get caught up in having the life that you are comfortable living. I want you to think about the life that you are going to be happy living. Because the reality is you're worth having a good life. You're worth having a beautiful life. You deserve to have that life that you've been wanting. Many of you have put it off way too long. And there is no better time than the present to start creating that life that you truly want now. And this is one of the things that you can do to get there.
Okay, so now we've found the people in our lives who easily can take over some of those tasks.
Yes.
While they're doing their own.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? What's the next step?
So the next step is to start having some conversations with those people and to start going through and starting to delegate some of those tasks. This is the part where people are just like, oh, but I don't have money to pay them. I didn't say you were necessarily going to pay them. Some things, maybe. Other things, no. You can trade, you can barter with people. For example, if you are that person who likes to cook, or if you are somebody who likes to bake, I know women out there who don't want to go anywhere near their kitchen. Their kitchens are pristine because they don't cook and they don't bake. But they would love to be able to say that they had cupcakes or cookies for some type of meal that they can bring to a potluck, or they can bring to an event that they're going to.
Or just have them available for their grandkids or kids.
Yes. And so you can trade. You can barter. You cook or bake for them, and maybe that's the person who's doing the dog walking for you. What you're going to be able to find is you're going to be able to work with other people to do more of what it is that you like and less of what it is that you don't like. And they can take those tasks off of your plate and help you. The first group that you're going to approach, obviously, when you're going through this is going to be your family. It's going to be either your spouse or your children, maybe even your grandchildren. And you're going to say, you know what? It's time for you to learn how to do this well. And give them the opportunity to learn how to do some of these tasks and give them the opportunity to grow in that particular area. Just because a task is something that you have done for years and years and you don't necessarily like it doesn't mean somebody else doesn't like it and doesn't mean somebody else doesn't need to learn how to do that.
Exactly. And when we protect our children from doing those tasks, laundry or cooking or cleaning, then we have a child that we are handing over to be somebody else's spouse, whether it's your daughter or your son, without knowing basic life skills. So going back to the car detailing, if you have a child, I remember very clearly, my son was going to prom with a friend of his. The gang was going. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Mom, can I borrow your car? Because he didn't even have a car at the time. And I was like, yeah, but it's a wreck. You need to clean it. And he had no idea what I meant by that, was to really detail the inside so that when his prom date got in with her beautiful black and white dress, that she didn't get sticky, I hate to say it, spilled soda and dog hair because we had animals and they rode in the car. And so he needed to learn that skill. And he needed to learn how to do laundry and to cook. And you want your kids to be able to go out into the world and take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Because it's hugely important. And we want to split our chores and our duties evenly with our spouses. Yes. So I have a spouse who's retired. I'm still working 8 to 10 hours a day building a business and working with clients. And it's like, wait a minute. Nope. Not grocery shopping. Not. But what we've done is we've gone to a meal service. So 3 meals a week, we get delivered in a paper bag from Green Chef with a card on how to cook it so that he doesn't have to think about meal planning. He doesn't have to think about any of that stuff. So yes, we spend a little bit more on that groceries, but we don't wind up going out to dinner as much, which actually saves us money.
Yes. So, well, and to that point, when it comes to grocery shopping, Walmart, literally, you can go online, put in what your grocery list is. They will do the shopping for you, and you can either go pick it up or they'll deliver it for you.
They'll deliver it. Yeah.
And it doesn't get any easier than that. That's one less thing that
I think Green Chef is actually easier than that. Yeah. And you can, we get 3 meals a week. You can get up to 5 and you might even be able to get to more than that. And it comes pre-bagged. And the only thing you have to buy is whatever oil you're going to cook it in. And what else have we added to butter? I think butter. So it's really, it's super easy in today's world to get all of this delivery stuff done. But with that, you just pick whole meals. You don't even have to know what the ingredients are or what's in your shelves.
Yes. And like you said, it's so much easier to do that and it's cost effective compared to you get home and you're just like, I don't know what I'm going to have tonight for dinner. And you end up ordering something, which is going to be a whole lot more expensive.
And probably you have to exercise a whole lot more.
Yes. It's not going to be nearly as healthy for you.
Yeah.
So you can, and that's a form of delegation.
Yeah.
When you're having somebody else do that shopping for you, when you have somebody else doing that planning for you, that's delegating.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of taking a look at it from a different point of view. The other thing that you brought up when it comes to children and grandchildren, learning life skills. I know when I was a teenager during the summers, before I was, I think I had to be 15 to actually go to work for somebody here in Pennsylvania. But when I was growing up in the summer times, I used to clean houses. That's how I earned money in the summertime. And in the winter, I used to shovel snow. So when my children were young, I have a son and a daughter, they learned how to cook, they learned how to clean, they learned how to do things outside, they learned basic car maintenance. I wanted to make sure when they went out into the world that they would be productive members of society who could take care of themselves. And I think there are some parents out there who aren't necessarily doing that. And this is one of those areas where you can help build up the skills that your children or grandchildren have. And at the same time, you are shifting those tasks away from you doing it to somebody else doing it.
Yeah, I want to kind of comment on that a little bit too, because when you hire a youngster, a teenager, to do a task, in general, you're hiring them at a rate.
Yes.
That says, I want you to clean my house and I will give you $15 because I think it's a 1 hour task. Or you can even break that down into your head. How long does it take? I'm going to give them a really decent rate. Mowing your yard, raking your leaves, shoveling your snow. Thank goodness I don't have to do that. I live in Louisiana. But you can put that into a rate and you can really influence how hard they work by making that a rate that they can really make decent money. Mm-hmm. My son, when he was young, 40 some years ago, well, 35 years ago, he would go out to shovel snow. Mm-hmm. And because he was a hard worker, he would do it in a time that was giving him a rate well beyond anything you would pay a kid at that time.
Yeah.
And it taught him how to really tell a homeowner how long he thought it was going to, he could do that calculation in his head. It's going to take me an hour and a half to clear their driveway. Therefore, I'm going to tell him it's $25 or $20. I don't remember how much he used, but he used to make good money on a snowstorm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He used to make good money. And so it's a way of helping them be that productive worker and be the person who can do that and get a real good value for it. And when your child goes out from a upbringing like that and goes into the workforce, he used to work for roofing crews in the summer, which is a tough job. Let me tell
you. Yes, it is.
And the second summer he worked for the construction company in the roofing crews, he was actually leading crews as an 18-year-old young man, leading roofing crews because he was such a hard worker and he absorbed all the instructions as to how to do that. And he was leading crews and having to get men who were 30 years older than him listening to him. It's beautiful skills, beautiful skills that we're developing in our kids. And if we don't do it, then who will?
Exactly. Because this isn't something they learn at school.
No.
The other thing is by tapping children and grandchildren and giving them the opportunity to learn these skills, like you said, they're also going to learn valuable skills that they can take and turn into a business. And when they learn business skills on top of these basic skills, one of the things that your son learned was estimating.
Yeah.
He learned how to estimate a job. He learned project management skills. Mm-hmm. He learned a whole lot of skills that transfer into the real world. And as parents, as grandparents, that's one of the things that we're responsible for doing with our children and grandchildren is giving them those opportunities to learn those types of skills so that they go out and become productive members of society. Yeah.
Yeah.
And delegation is perfect for that because they can learn true skills when you delegate to them. And these are going to be skills that they're going to be able to use for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And so this is the first group that you're looking at. It is your family. And when it comes to your spouse, you know, my husband, much like you, my husband was a college professor and he retired from teaching, and he's working in our business now, but he had a lot of time freed up when he stopped teaching.
Yeah.
And so that's when you go back and you start renegotiating some of the skills between the two of you. You know, what are you going, now that you have some more free time, what are you going to do as opposed to me having to do all of it?
Exactly.
And those are some conversations you have to have. You need to look at the list and you have to say, what can he be doing now that mm-hmm. he's got some extra time on his hands?
Exactly. Exactly. So this is a wonderful way to get into that. Interestingly enough, I had a very long conversation with a woman for her podcast yesterday. And part of what we were talking about is how these relationships are shifting as we become more aware of our own personal needs mm-hmm. in a way that's biologically driven. And I talk about this all the time in terms of our shift at menopause is into this from being all things to everybody else to mm-hmm. what is it that I need and want in my life? Now, mm-hmm. of course, that means that if you've had late life babies, that means that you still have babies to deal with.
Yes.
But if you're at that point where both of your lives are shifting, it mm-hmm. may be time to renegotiate all of those relationships. Mm-hmm. What you're doing for each person in your life and what they're contributing to your life and to your household so that you get the things that you need done in a way that's not exhausting you.
Exactly. I've got a really good example for you. Our daughter recently moved across the state and she moved in with my mother. My mother's in her early 80s. She was living alone. And I wanted to make sure somebody was there with her. And our daughter's lease was up at the end of January. And she had asked my mom back in October, November, like, "My mom, is it okay if I move in with you after my lease is up?" And my mom's just like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." Our daughter moved over there. And the dynamic of their relationship is very different at this point. My mom was used to being the grandmother who could spoil her grandchildren, who could let them do anything and everything. And now she basically has a roommate who has to take on some of the responsibilities of the household, who has to take the trash out, who has to clean up the dishes, who needs to help with the grocery shopping, who needs to help with some of the cooking. And so they negotiated a lot of what my daughter is now doing there for my mom. And I was very proud of the two of them for doing that, for having that conversation and saying, mm-hmm. you know, this is what our roles are going to be as, like I said, basically roommates. And it's not the grandmother and the granddaughter. It's we're living together and we're both responsible for this household. How are we going to divide up what needs to be done? And that's the conversation that they had. And it's working out very well for both of them.
So I want to kind of emphasize one thing. When you're in a family and you're living in the same house, you are roommates.
Yes.
And I mean, you're hopefully roommates with benefits.
Yeah.
But you are responsible together for making this household run. And the trick is not one of you and not both of you are responsible. And all of the people living in the house are responsible to the degree that they can contribute. And there may be, you know, you may, if you have a young child, then you're not going to say, oh, you're responsible for dinner three nights a week.
No.
But you actually may be able to be ask them to be responsible for deciding what you're going to have for dinner three nights a week. You know, you could ask a five-year-old, what do you want to eat? Now you can't just let them say, I want McDonald's and fries three nights a week, but you can start to work with that child to get a more reasonable response. Well, are we going to have fish? Or are we going to have chicken? Or are we going to have steak? And lots of wonderful conversations come out of that. So Michelle, are there any final words you want to have around delegation as we close up this conversation?
I want to go back to that concept of having it all, because when you move into menopause and you're moving through menopause and you're into this new chapter of your life, I think a lot of women think that their life is going to continue on the way that it was before. And that's not the case. The reality is this is an opportunity for you to look and say to yourself, what is it that I really want in life? What is the life that I really want to live? And delegating can help you get that life, because you can have it all, you just can't do it all. And that's where the delegation comes in, so that you can live the life that you really want to. And other people are there in a supporting role for you at that point, doing some of those tasks for you that you used to do on your own.
Thanks so much. How can someone who wants to continue this conversation with you reach out to you?
They can either go to my website, which is ateagueofyourown.com. ateagueofyourown.com, or they can give me a call, or text me even, 412-420-7975.
And that will be in the show notes. So thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I think it's been lovely to think about different ways that we can have it all. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please submit a rating and review and share it with a friend. Menopause has many annoying symptoms, but not many are worse than the lack of sleep. If you are one of the 90% of women who suffer from menopausal insomnia and/or fatigue, I'd love to offer you my free download, 5 Tips to Get Better Sleep Tonight. You can get it at menopausematterspodcast.com/sleep. And let me know which of these tips works best for you.